I would really appreciate it if you would take this podcast and send it to the people at King 5 News in Seattle. I'm not kidding. On Twitter, on Facebook, in their emails. King 5 News in Seattle, you should be ashamed. I can only conclude that you absolutely despise both the truth and teenage girls.
The Todd Herman Show is 100% disapproved by big pharma, technocrats, and tyrants everywhere. Now, from the high mountains of free America, here's the Emerald City Exile, Todd Herman.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live, and I would deeply appreciate it if you would send this to King 5 News, to their news director. I will have you in a debate anywhere, anytime. What you publish this weekend is such trash and is going to get teenage girls harmed, and you should retract it. It's sickening. To any news person who works there, I'll debate you on this piece. I'll debate anyone involved in this piece anywhere, anytime, and I will destroy your arguments. I will obliterate them. I take part of this personally, and if I sound a little angry, it's because I am. But I'm not anywhere near as angry as the Lord is going to be. Although, I take that back. I have no capacity to speak for the Lord. I have only the Word of God to look at. We can do this all without the Word of God. We can do this all based upon science, observable, testable, falsifiable data, biology, chromosomes, psychology. We can do it all. We can talk study after study across 10 years of this gender madness. We can talk about the Tavistock Center in England, one of the most aggressive at giving kids wrong sex hormones clinics in the world that is being shut down. We can talk about all the countries who've stopped this madness. We can talk about the investigations in England into how it was ever allowed to get like this. We can talk about all of that. But I want to focus down on one piece because I do take it personally. Several years ago, we began to be approached by families whose kids had been gender jacked. I will go through a very common example. This happens a lot. I heard from a family of an 11-year-old girl turning 12. She's autistic. She still is, obviously. She was not popular at school, had trouble making friends, didn't fit in, and felt horribly ostracized. And her parents grieved for her. And they worked with her. And they thought, you know, sought counseling and books and friends. And then one day the girl came home and she'd figured it out. Her problem is that she's a boy, 11 years going on 12. She's a boy. And the parents did the right thing. They listened. But the girl had a script. Oh, and how do I know it's a script? Because I've seen the script. Who writes it? Gender jackers. Activists who want kids changed. And it's terrifying the way these stories matched up family by family. She sat down and said, I've always felt this way, but I've been afraid to tell you. This has always been the case. This isn't anything new. I've just hidden it. I've always known I was born in the wrong body. I've always known I was a boy. For my whole life, I've known I was a boy. I hate my body. These foreign objects growing on me, I hate them. And the reason that I don't fit in is because I'm a boy and I can't be myself. And the only way to fix this is to get me. And she didn't say the word hormones the right way. She didn't know how to pronounce them. Hormones or something. And if you don't do that, I will kill myself because all kids like me kill themselves if they don't get this done. And her parents thought they would do the right thing. They thought they'd take her to the very best. Well, what is children's gender clinic? It's the very worst. So they took their daughter to a therapist. 11 going on 12. And this therapist talked to them as a family unit for 15 minutes. To the girl alone for 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Then walked back out, the girl still in the office, and sat with the parents, and she looked them in the eyes. She said, I need you to listen to me. The decision you make right now will determine whether your son, she called their girl a son, whether your son commits suicide or not. You have a son, not a girl. You need to stop right now. There is no cure for this. It never changes. Your son has a boy's brain trapped in a girl's body. It's torture. Now imagine the parents hearing this. And the mom said, but she's, no, wait, she's always loved girly things. No, she hasn't. The parents were being threatened. They knew their girl. They knew that she wasn't faking for 11 and a half years of her life to like girly things. And incidentally, it doesn't matter whether a girl liked girly things or not. They're still girls. Girls can like the Tough Mudder and weightlifting and kickboxing, and they can still be girls. They still are. They always will be until they become women. So they knew their kid. This therapist said, I'm referring your daughter to the Children's Gender Clinic. They're the very best at this. Years later, I talked with a parent of an Islamic family. His kid became radically depressed. He was also autistic, and so many of the kids who end up getting gender jacked are autistic. They're great targets because they don't fit in often. This man's son became suicidal during the lockdowns. Lost all his friends, all his social contact. Convinced himself he was a girl. Found out later the boy had been sneaking access to pornography through a friend's phone this friend gave him. Including cell phone access that the parents of this boy were paying for. They didn't even care and they didn't know. Porn is tied to this. Porn addiction is tied to this. It twists kids' minds. This boy became convinced he was a girl. The father, thinking, I will go to the very best, went to the Children's Gender Clinic. They'll get it figured out. They know this is not a girl. That's not what he discovered. They were excited to start the process of getting this boy shot up with estrogen, according to the father. The father talked to a lawyer friend who said, leave the state now. They've got you. This is only a few years ago. If you don't do what they say, they're going to take your kid. Leave the state now. He did. They moved to Montana. The kid got it figured out. He's a boy. 85 to 95% of kids who come to get either conned into or confused into or depressed into or porned into thinking they're the opposite sex, they get it figured out. They adapt and then they accept their birth sex, their only sex they'll ever have. Unless people like Children's Hospital get their hands on them and start medicalizing them. The reason I am so furious at King 5 News, and let me talk to you directly. I brought you the stories of families like this through one of your employees. Word came back it was too hot to handle. 15 families. Guess what? 13 of them, the kids got it figured out. The other two are still battling. But the kids have desisted from the psychoses. People like you causing them. I was told by Cairo 7 TV, one of the most well thought of investigative reporters in the entire area, Western Washington, told me, too hot to handle. When I talked to that reporter was very, very upset with what that reporter saw, was told. That reporter told me, too hot to handle. We cannot cover this. Cairo Radio could not cover this. King 5 News, to my knowledge, has never before, ever, admitted there's such a thing as a children's gender clinic. So why are they doing it now? This weekend, on Sunday, was Detransition Awareness Day. It is an effort to draw attention to the sort of young women with whom Diane Sawyer spoke when she talked to young women who want their bodies back. They got conned. They were sad. They were depressed. They were anxious. Some of them were autistic. They got taken down this merry road of, hey, once you're chopped up, once you're shot up and chopped up, everything's going to be swimmingly happy. They want their bodies back. They would like to have girls, or they would like to have kids, but they can't. They're now sterilized. Many of them would like to have their vaginas back, but they're gone. They have fake penises between their legs. Some of them complete with fake penis pumps. But they'll never have an orgasm. They'll never have true sexual union. The ones who got their breasts cut off their bodies when they were 13 will never breastfeed a child, even if they do succeed in becoming pregnant. They'll never breastfeed a child. The most heartbreaking cases are when they want their voices back. Girls who get shot up with 600 times, or is it, yeah, but it's like 600 times the amount of testosterone that would ever belong in a female body. Their voices become low and smoky. Many of them want their voices back. Will never happen. Many of them don't like the fact that their craniums grew, or that they've got male pattern baldness in their early 30s. Large craniums, early onset baldness, big hands. Because at the age of 25, they're not 13 anymore. At the age of 20, they're not 13 anymore. At the age of 18, they're not 13 anymore. At the age of 16, they're not 13 anymore. They mature. They make strides in life. They have achievements. And all of a sudden, they're not desperate and anxious and depressed and shut in and cutting. And they realize it never was that. I was never a boy. You want to talk trapped? King 5 News is running cover for the Children's Gender Clinic because it's Detransition Awareness Day. That's when this piece ran. And I didn't even have to read the piece. I knew exactly how they came up with this con. I knew exactly what they did because they always do the same stunt. And it's the same claim they always make. Oh, it prevented suicide and depression. I knew it the second I saw the headline. I knew the trick. Gender-affirming care reduced depression in 60% of teens in a University of Washington study. Most teens who received hormone blockers, estrogen, or testosterone at the Seattle Genders Clinic saw a reduction in depression and self-harm. And I already knew. Incidentally, they don't put a name on this. It's King 5 staff who wrote it. No author. Want to know why, in my opinion, my judgment? Because this is simply a print of what the University of Washington sent him. I don't think anyone wrote this. I think it's a copy and paste job. And I knew already the way they did it. I knew already how they inserted the lie in this. I already knew. A University of Washington study found a majority of teens who received hormone blockers, testosterone or estrogen at the Seattle's Genders Clinic saw a reduction in depression, self-harm, suicidal thoughts after their treatment. Here we go. Here's the stunt. The study was conducted by a fourth-year student at the UW Medical Medicine, Aaron Collin, and a UW PhD candidate in epidemiology, Diana Tordoff. The authors tracked 104 patients at the clinic between the ages of 13 and 20 over the course of 365 days. 1 year. 1 year. In kids who have been conned into believing the fix is the shots. There's a period of euphoria. It lasts about a year, sometimes two. Particularly for girls, and it usually is girls these days, there's been a 2,000 to 4,000% increase in girls who've been conned into thinking they're boys. Testosterone is a great drug. It gives you energy. It gives you confidence. It boosts your mood. It can increase your sleep. And for the young men who've been conned into this, and there's so much data showing the tie between obscene access to obscene pornography at obscene levels of use, warps kids' minds. So they're becoming this thing about which they fantasized. And they're young. They are not even, their brains will not mature until the age of 25. They're brave. This is the story of detransitioners constantly. When they took the drugs and they got chopped up, look how brave you are. You're so brave. Look, you're being your genuine self. You're brave and genuine. You're living your best life now. Look how brave and genuine you are. You're so brave and so genuine. And the second they start to express doubt, oh, well, you were never really transgender. They're told, you can't go around saying this. You're going to make transgender people feel bad. I have played on this podcast. You've heard it. The audio of a young man who called his so-called gender therapist and said, why did you do this to me? And the gender therapist said, why are you blaming me? I didn't know what I was doing. You told me this is what you wanted. I have linked in this program notes to a wealth of information that will go through the incredible harm that is done to kids, including things like losing up to 10% of their IQ points, including things like getting early onset bone density issues, brittle bones in your 30s and 40s. Cancer, lung problems, the subsequent surgeries, not to mention the brutality of the surgeries involved. Do you know that men who have their penises removed, their penises are not removed, they're split in half. The testicles, the inside of the testicles are thrown out, basically. The skin from the testicles make a fake labia. The penis is inverted, but the head of the penis is turned into a fake clitoris. Then the fun part is where they cut a wound up inside the middle of the person's legs. That wound will never heal because it's designed to never heal. Those men have to wear a wedge between their legs for I don't even know how long, 6 months, a year, sometimes a couple years. That gash will not self-clean. It doesn't self-lubricate. It is constantly infected. Is this what we do for kids with eating disorders? Guess what kids who have eating disorders don't like? Their bodies. You know what binge eaters, B-E-D, binge eating disorder? You know what they don't like? Their bodies. You know what anorexics don't like? Their bodies. You know what nearly every woman in the United States of America, in fact, on the globe has gone through? Not liking her body. You know that? You know what most of them don't do? They don't get chopped up, shot up. King 5 News. Speaking of women, my wife is going to drop by. I'm not kidding. My wife, seriously. Oh, you know she's doing the soda weight loss thing, but she said, I don't want to talk about weight loss. I want to talk about soda weight loss, but I've never got to talk to your audience. I want to talk to your audience. So she may take the show over. I don't know. Maybe she's going to come in and say, you know, I've been talking to Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital Management. The reason I mentioned that, by the way, this is a really funny thing. When I meet listeners, people are so kind and they say, oh, I love the podcast and thank you for bringing the word of God into this. And of course, I get the opportunity to say, wow, thank you for listening. And lately I've had a couple of people come up to me and say, hey, Todd, you're Todd Herman, right? Yes. Nice to meet you. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hey, I love Zach Abraham. I'm like, do you? Well, you're good too, but yeah. So Zach has become, it makes sense. He's on once a week with us. At Bulwark Capital Management, Zach is obsessively focused on risk management. And just like Fletch said, was it Fletch? When he was pretending to be someone else, said, oh, it's all plastic these days. Remember that? No, it's all plastic these days. What, the Fletch, right? Zach is obsessed about risk management. And if I observe the world the right way, let's see, we just might get into World War III. The party wants to force us into purchasing electric cars. They are still positioning to have injection passports. They're just working that now on the back end. Our unofficial debt's about $300 trillion. Our official debt's about $30 trillion. It seems to me like there's a lot of risk right now. So if you're looking at early retirement, can I ask you to do something that I think would be really smart? Talk to Zach Abraham. Call him at Bulwark Capital Management. Have Zach look at your portfolio, whether it's with your company, early retirement plan, or you think you're going to do it on your own. Just call Zach. He's at 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. So Zach is going to drop by. Friday, my wife is coming today. And do I sound nervous about that? I'm a little nervous because she said there's some things I want to say on air and I don't just want to. So I think that she may have a monologue prepared. She's a political person. She may come in with a monologue prepared. The fact, and I go back to this article from King 5 News, you know what they couldn't find? They couldn't find a single person who disagreed with this. A junk trash study, completely out of scope, because you know what life isn't? Thank God it's not a year long. You're 16. You have another 70 years to live. But they're happy now. When I was a kid, I wanted to take steroids for a little while. I'm so glad people stopped me from taking steroids. I have a friend of mine I mentioned on the show. I consider him a brave man. He spoke to his students. Yes, I took steroids and HGH. You better believe I broke world records in weightlifting, and I regret every pill I took and every injection I ever had. So do these kids in these detransition awareness day. That's why King 5 News ran this trash piece. They don't know that. I don't think they know that. I bet they didn't know it was detransition day. And it's not like it's hard to find people who speak out against this. In this show links, there are links to, there's hundreds and hundreds of articles. If you go in there and listen to it, you could just turn to YouTube. Just turn. This is a young woman named Sydney Watson. I didn't know who she was. She's hugely successful. 660 some thousand subscriptions on YouTube. She does some interesting videos. She is on to the gender madness.
In the description and use code Sydney for 15% off. Support a small American business and get yourself a neat flag. At the end of 2021, writer Anna Sletz wrote about a doctor based out of Miami who allegedly performed a double mastectomy on a 13-year-old girl.
A double mastectomy being the snippety-doo of your baby feeders.
Dr. Steve Gallagher, and yes, apparently this word is pronounced Sieve or Sieve, I don't know, Ireland, get it together. Originally from Ireland, is actually well known for performing these kinds of surgeries. In fact, she has quite a popular TikTok talking about just that.
Why do they always have a TikTok?
According to Sletz, Gallagher became most associated with her infamous catchphrase, yeeting the teats, a flippant joking way to refer to performing cosmetic mastectomies or breast removals to her primarily underage female audience.
Yeeting the teats. For my female audience, I want to make sure I explain this very clearly. The gender industry hates the female body. You know what else they call breast? Sad sacks. I won't go into the other words they have for the rest of the female body, but it is misogynistic, and it is gross, and it is angry, and it's mocking. And it works. You know what else they tell the girls? You never have ever a period again. You'll never be the object of rape again. When we went through our journeys in adolescent teen therapy, which is family therapy, broken kid, broken family, I talked to a therapist who said 100% of the girls in treatment who think they're boys were raped. 100%. Girls who were raped have always, not all of them, many of them have ended up in treatment. Rape is theft. It's violence. It's ungodly. It's an ungodly act put upon an innocent person. They used to become promiscuous. Commonly, girls who were raped used to become promiscuous and sleep around and in a way to gain control over the sexuality. Now they gain control by pretending to be boys. And there's children's gender clinic lurking in the background, ready to provide the illusion. Here's King 5 News, who's ignored them to this point, publishing this piece of trash as if it's news by King 5 staff. Now, if we think these things are solved in adulthood, I could go all day. I could play things like this all day. I can go to Twitter all day. I can find instances like this. This is a very sad person. I pray for this person. I have no ill will against this person. This person has no business around kids. This person has no business working in the schools. This person, in my judgment, is mentally ill. This person, in my judgment, is unbalanced. This person, in my judgment, is at some point going to go off on somebody in a bad way, in my judgment. This person wants very much to force everybody to be involved in this person's psychosis. This person wants to be a different sex. I can't tell what this person is from the video. So I'm not avoiding using the pronoun. Men are men, women are women. God created him that way. Yeah, we could do this on the scientific basis all day long. Bring me the brain scan that shows the male brain and the female body. Bring it to me. Show me the medical review. Bring me how you review these kids. Hey, Children's Gender Clinic, you can join in the debate too. You show me how you employ any scientific rigor to this. Show it to me. Do you bring them in and show me the observable, testable, falsifiable method of saying you're transgender and you're not? Show it to me. Is it an organic scan? Is it a blood test? What do? Poke around their brain, feel their skulls? You don't do anything. This is the only condition in the world where if you say you have it, you have it. How about this, Children's Gender Clinic? Let's try this at your cancer clinic. Let a kid walk into your cancer clinic and go, hi, I've got stage 3 brain cancer. I want to be operated on. I want chemotherapy. Oh, well, we need to check that first. Nope. Affirmation only. Affirm me. or I'll commit suicide. If you don't agree I have cancer, I'll commit suicide. Well, we can just check. We can check. Nope. Affirm me. Stick me with chemo right now or I'll kill myself. I identify as a cancer patient. Well, but chemotherapy is very risky, as is wrong sex hormones, you criminals. Yeah, you better believe we can go to the Bible on this. We will. My wife is going to swing by. I may leave the studio when she swings by. I'm nervous. Well, should we do it now? I can't do it now. There's going to be some transition for me screaming at Children's Hospital. Oh, wait. You know what? This is good. Here we are talking about all the autistic kids. How about we go the reverse angle? What if we talk about people who help autistic kids? Yeah, Alan's Artisan Soaps. Yeah, there's the Children's Hospital, the Chop Shop, and then there's Alan's Artisan Soaps. Alan's boys are profoundly impacted by autism and other health concerns. So Alan said, you know what I want? I want my kids to have the most welfare on earth. I'm going to teach them how to fill out all the forms to get government aid, and I want them having a bunch of Biden bucks, is what their dad said. No, he didn't. He said, what's a product my kids could produce that people need and about which people can be proud to buy? Soap. And then John said he runs Alan's Artisan Soaps. It's named after his son, Alan. Alan works there. Alan's employed. Alan goes to work every day. John said, I don't know how to make soaps. He researched, found a third generation company that makes soaps. This is a family business. It has been for three generations. He told them, I want to have a company that employs autistic people, my kids to start with. They said, we're in. The soaps are incredibly unique. The customer service is as high end as it gets. And it's a template. If this works, it's a place where kids like Alan, who's only 11, but is very mature, despite being nonverbal, that they get to work with pride, with discipline. Alan is the chief soap officer, and he literally helps create the soaps. So here's how you pay it back. Go to alanssoaps.com, sign up for some of the subscription plans, or just try the soaps. Make sure you like the soaps. Soaps, I get it. Soaps are an intimate thing. Try it. Find the scent and the lather that fits your needs. It's alanssoaps.com. I hope you'll send this to King 5 News. I hope you'll send it to Children's Gender Clinic. I have been challenging Children's Gender Clinic for almost a decade to debate me on this, and they won't, because they can't, because it's not possible to take their side in a debate. That's, they know they'll get smoked. That's why they won't discuss it. There's good news. First of all, God is watching all of this. God warned us about this. God is watching this in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You see how that says that three times? He created them three times. That matters. God is saying, I created you in my image. Big Pharma wants to step in and reimagine these kids. They are creating a set of people who have changed their designer. Which leads me to Matthew chapter 18, verses 5 through 7. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. They're going to get God's attention. He's watching now. You're doing what to my creation? You're telling them what? You're telling them they're neither male nor female? He's watching. There's also this. Oh, my wife's at the studio door. Okay. We're going to get through this. Awesome. Hold on. I got to read this letter. Oh, come on. She'll be in. I have a friend of mine named Stacy. Her kid wrote a letter to school. It happens that Stacy is a writer. Her kid wrote a letter to a teacher at school, and it is just an absolute thing of beauty. Listen to this. Stacy writes, "We might not be homeschooling, but they're learning. Below is Rowan's response to his activist indoctrinated literature teacher's assignment on being anti-racist." Rowan's note follows. "I read a book one time named Red Scarf Girl. It was for this literary bingo activity we were doing at my elementary school, and I wasn't really that excited about it because historical fiction really isn't interesting to me. But I had a bingo board to fill out, so I got to work. Surprisingly, I really liked that book. It told the story of a young Chinese girl experiencing the horrors of Mao's Great Leap Forward. It was truly a terrifying story. It was unbelievable to me that this could happen in real life. Of every event detailed in that book, the struggle session was the most unnerving. The communists would seize someone, bring them into a room with their peers, and grill them on account they were suspected of being a bourgeoisie, a, quote, a capitalist pig. The accused would be interrogated, psychologically tortured, pressured to confess, and, quote, encouraged to turn back from their, quote, evil ways. An act of contrition, if you will. I enclosed evil ways in scare quotes here because not everyone they interrogated and tortured was, in fact, a capitalist. Terrifyingly, the bar to get thrown into one of those into one of these classes was as low as a simple accusation. In fact, it was very much like the Salem witch trials we learned about in your class. I'm sharing this with you to point out some current parallels. No one, not one person in the classroom is a racist. No one hates blacks. No one in our classroom hates Mexicans and Jews or Asians or whites, you name it. No one here endorses or even has a neutral opinion of slavery. No one here is okay with segregation. Why are you doing this as an assignment? I suspect it's because you consider yourself to be an activist teacher and it makes you feel good to be, to teach kids to be so-called anti-racists. Promoting this type of political propaganda means you're one of the, quote, good guys, but in truth, this is exactly what the, quote, good Christians did in the witch trials, and it's the tactic of the proletariat under Mao. This activity is a thinly veiled struggle session. It's based in fantasy and boogeymen that simply don't exist in this country anymore. Well, it didn't, but you seem to want it to. Red Scarf Girl's a lovely, powerful book, but it scares me that people like you in charge of shaping young minds are leading us along the very exact same path the people in the books did. This path leads only to destruction, and if you really want to end racism, I would suggest you simply stop talking about race all the time. Thanks, Rowan." Did I tell you that there's hope? Did I tell you that there's hope? There's tens of thousands of girls who want their bodies back. There's going to be hundreds of thousands. There's going to be lawsuits. They're going to come for Children's Hospital. They're going to come for the people who cut them up. They're going to come for the people who shot them up. The civil trials will be one thing. The spiritual trials, to mess with the work of God on this monumental level, I guarantee you, is going to bring a response. To mess with minds of kids in classrooms is going to bring a response. With Rowan writing back on the social justice stuff, with the girls pushing back that they want their bodies back, with an entire generation of kids having seen what government scientists will do given the chance, with the inescapable fact that the mRNA injections are killing people. We talked about that in the first hour. We talked about the increase in deaths in millennials, according to the source we quoted last hour. 88% increase in all-cause mortalities in millennials. With all of that, there's good news. God is opening the eyes of people. The Lord is on the move. And these are the times for which God has decided we will live. I hope you'll send this to King 5 News, to Children's Hospital. Anytime, anywhere, I'll debate you anytime and anywhere on this. I know you won't be in touch because you know your position cannot be debated with anyone who's read about it for 15 minutes. I said this is going to happen. All right, come in. Come over. I have to move the mic around you guys because there's only one mic in the studio. I'm going to have to move the mic around. So like I said, my wife has walked into the podcast studio. We don't have two mics set up, so we're going to do it with one mic. Hi.
Hi there. We're standing really close because we're sharing a mic.
So what did you want to talk about? You said, honey, we need to talk.
Oh, we need to talk.
Yeah, honey, we need to talk.
I don't like those conversations.
I know. This never ends well. So what is this? What have we been married now? 44 years?
A million. I don't know.
Something like that.
We met in our 20s. We're in our 50s.
I know. I'm just this. I'm sorry for the noise, everybody. You wanted to talk about this thing you're doing.
Well, yes. So you're doing first, actually, hello to the listeners out there. I want to thank the listeners for supporting you and the show and the advertisers, really. You know, you took a pay cut when you left that nice radio station. And that's how this show survives. So thank you, listeners. I'm talking today about I'm doing the SOTA weight loss program.
SOTA.
SOTA with a T.
Stands for state of the art. State of the art.
Yeah.
Right. So why?
Well, I am excited about this. It's a great opportunity for me. And to be honest, I'm quite impressed with you, Todd.
don't embarrass people in here.
You are 50 what? 3, 4?
40? We don't say my age on the air.
Sorry.
But 50. I'm in my mid-50s.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have impressed me with your CrossFit and your athleticism and...
Let's not go too far with the athleticism stuff, but CrossFit, okay.
Well, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Yes, because you know when we met, clear back... In our 20s.
Is this the part you talk about where I was fat? This you say you were so fat.
That's okay. That's okay because I was the fit one.
Yeah.
And you were still strong. You were quite strong, actually.
Not so strong that you'd let me save you when you were headed towards a boulder.
Oh, that I was on my rollerblades. This is kind of a funny story. And Todd was on the bicycle and we were on a new path and we were out getting some exercise. Well, I was showing off on my rollerblading and this path I wasn't familiar with. And all of a sudden, a big hill came upon us and I was going quite fast. I was behind you. And then I passed you on the bike. And I said, oh, no, because there's a big, steep drop. And you said, grab me. And I didn't want to grab you because I thought I'd pull you off the bike and crash.
I weighed 642 pounds. No, I would have knocked the boulder over.
You didn't weigh that much. But I was just zipping by and yeah. I thought for sure.
You shunned me.
You put your arm out.
I know. I would have stopped you.
I appreciated that. I don't know. I would have
stopped you.
You probably because you
weighed like 110.
Yeah, I didn't know how strong you were at that point.
Yeah,
but I didn't grab you. I appreciated the offer.
Then you hit.
But I thought, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm just gonna dig down deep, and I'm gonna get down this hill. But what made it very tricky was it was quite a steep hill, and then it made a 100-degree turn at the bottom, and on the other side of that was a river.
And a boulder.
So I thought, I have make the turn, don't fall. And so I just concentrated with all my might. I actually made the turn. And as right after the turn, it started to go uphill again. And as I was going up the hill, there was like a tree root made the path rise up. And I just crashed terribly. Yep. I rolled up the hill several times. Anyway.
I had to carry you, even though I had the bike. I had to carry you and then carry you into the car. And then there was something moving in your ankle.
No, it was my knee.
Something was moving in your knee.
My knee was
a thing moving inside
it. It didn't feel right. And I was quite impressed how you handled that.
Yeah, I left you there and said, you're going to be okay. And no, here's an Uber.
You were very attentive. And that was actually the first time. Yes. I considered maybe your marriage material because you really handled that.
So what you're saying is you wanted to do soda weight loss to do CrossFit with me.
No. Well, you're now you're the fit one.
Right.
And me, not so much. And so in our old golden years, I would like to be fit with you, but I'm not doing CrossFit. Just not going to do it.
Not yet. We'll get you there. So you started soda weight loss and I noticed a change in attitude. You seem happier already. It's SOTA weightloss.com. And in the few minutes that we spent together visiting about our marriage, you know, we can talk later about the deep stuff of marriage.
We don't need to do that.
So soda weight loss, you heard me talking about them and then you came to me and said, that sounds really good. I want to do it. So how are the first few days?
Well, I'm on day four. I'd like to say the people have been very attentive. I've been working with Trish, amazingly professional, very helpful, gives you all the time in the world, great tips. So the people are great. I liked that to begin with. The information packet was totally full of great ideas. Plus it's easy. I love easy. It doesn't complicate my life. It's very doable. I love easy. And then,
are you hungry?
I've had just some normal hunger that I would normally have anyway, but mostly I'm not hungry. And, to make any weight loss program work, if you're hungry, it's not going to work.
No,
it's just, you know, sometimes it's a little too much food for me.
All right. So what we're going to do is you're going to check in and you might not give specific, you know, pounds, but we're going to.
I am not giving specific pounds.
But you give updates on how far you are along towards your goal.
Yeah.
And we're going to take this slow. And then when you start CrossFit, I think we'll think of some of the first initial workouts. I have a coach picked out for you.
Well, if I do CrossFit, will you rollerblade?
I'm fine rollerblading. I'll rollerblade right now. Go get some rollerblades. I'll rollerblade right now.
Right now, you.
All right. Don't think I won't. It's Soda Weight Loss, SOTA. It stands for state of the art. By the way, if you're going to recommend something to your wife, it better be good. SodaWeightLoss.com. Say it with me. Say Soda Weight Loss. 1, 2, 3. SodaWeightLoss.com. It's state of the art. All right. So you mentioned my wife. I want to thank her for thanking you. If you've listened to my personal notes over the years, you probably heard how we met. I don't know if I've ever told you this story about how we got back together. Yeah. You know what? Tomorrow on the show, I'll tell you the story about how we got to back together. It's a good one. This is the Todd Herman Show. Go be well, be strong, be kind, and yes, be right with God.